I think that's one of the coolest things about our sport is that you go as hard as you can go for 45 seconds. You lay it on the line, you do everything you can, and then you come off the ice and you have to trust that the next person going out, and you have to give them the freedom to do it. And then when they come back off, they're trusting you. And so there's this idea that you're so important when you're on the ice. Like when you're on the ice as a five, when you go out on the one of the six guys, including the goalie on the ice, you're so important. It's not like you can go out there and not really pull your weight. So you matter, and I think everyone wants to feel like they matter, and everyone wants to feel like they're important, and you matter when you're on the ice. But when you get off the ice, you have to be able to release that and be a teammate and watch and cheer and be somebody that's helping just from the sidelines. And there comes a humility with that that I think, as you said, just by being in the sport, you start to realize, wow, if I want to have success in this sport, I got to figure out how that works.
That was Shane Doan, owner of 1,540 NHL games, all with the Phoenix Coyotes organization. And you are listening to the Up My Hockey Podcast with Jason Podolin. Just watch me now. Welcome to Up My Hockey with Jason Podolin, where we deconstruct the NHL journey, discuss what it takes to make it, and have a few laughs along the way. I'm your host, Jason Podolin, a 31st overall draft pick who played 41 NHL games, but thought he was destined for 1,000. Learn from my story and those of my guests. This is a hockey podcast about reaching your potential. All right. I think this is episode 122, Doner. But everyone else, I shouldn't talk to you in first person yet. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is Shane Doan, longtime member of the Arizona Coyotes, and I couldn't be happier to have you. Thanks so much for joining us, Doner.
Thanks, Pods. Appreciate it.
We will touch briefly, I guess, just on what you're doing now. You are in Toronto. Give us a little bit of lowdown on what life after hockey is like for you right now.
Yeah, when I retired from the league, from the NHL playing, I went and worked for the league for 3 years, and I worked for the Coyotes for a couple of years, and then this year I joined the Toronto front office and just trying to help out. Not really, nothing really specific, just wherever I can help, I try to help. And that's obviously Brad Treliving's incredible. I got to know him, so we were friends, and then the Toronto Maple Leafs, it's a special organization. As you got to experience, and it's one of those things that you get to be part of them in any way. It's always special.
Yeah, super cool. Can you give us a little insight into what that actually means, as far as title, role? You know, you're saying that you got your open out here and there, but what does that mean exactly?
My title's I'm special advisor to the GM, so I get to work directly with kind of Tree quite a bit, and that kind of group of guys, and with the people helping with whatever they kind of need me to do. I've scouted a little bit, watching games, watching a couple out of town teams. I also watch our team and around the players a lot. So I get to be around the players and in the dressing room a lot, and just kind of get a feel for that.
That's cool. Do you have a sweet spot? Like, do you have something that really fires you up?
I'd probably say the relationships with the players. That's probably the thing that, I value it a lot, and I think that's important. And so I think that's probably the biggest for me. It's just the relationship with the players, and the whole organization, the staff that support the players. I get to know the trainers and the medical guys, and get to know the people that are kind of touching the players on a daily basis. So right. Those are the guys that I think have such a huge influence on your team and your organization. So it's important.
Yeah. And it's one of those things too, like when I ask about players, and I'm sure you probably do the same thing, like nobody knows those guys better than the training staff.
Exactly. That's and the training staff they're so important, because I always joke they're kind of like your firemen. If there's any little fires in your dressing room, they either put them out or they enhance them. And we're fortunate we got some great ones here, and they always seem to be putting out fires and helping us out.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great. All right. Well, I told you before we started that I want to chat with you with the overall topic of being kind of player development. And, you know, you and your 1,540 NHL games, and, you know, all with one franchise, and, you know, this kind of a little bit of a storybook career. Sometimes people forget the start of it. you know, and the start of it, I think, is really cool. And I do want to start. I mean, one, you were part of like one of the most iconic franchises in WHL history, in junior hockey history, like that run you guys were on. So maybe just for that aspect, we'll speed past minor hockey and just that culture driven system, what that was about, how that was to be there at 16. You know, and even getting into the points and the goals and assists, I kind of want to go through it all because, you know, I know from a parent perspective now, there's so much emphasis on ice time and, you know, an opportunity and points and what league we should be in. So let's take it back to Shane Doan, 16 years old, stepping into that franchise there at Kamloops Blazers and talk to me about your first year in the WHL.
You know what? It was unbelievable to have the opportunity playing Kamloops. Was pretty special. I had no idea. I didn't get drafted by them. I mean, I know everyone's always worried about the draft and the WHL draft and what's going on with that. For me personally, I never got drafted. There's a bunch of us that didn't. I played in a really small little community, so no one really got to watch, or there wasn't a lot of people getting to watch us play as much. So I had to, getting to Kamloops was completely by accident. And when I got there, I recognized how special it was, the group of people that they have running the organization, with Mr. Brown, who I still refer to as Mr. Brown. He was the general manager, and obviously Don Hay and the coaching staff was incredible. Shacker, or Ed Dempsey, and Coach Banger, they were great. So I was very fortunate to have those guys there. But really what made it special was the players and the type of individuals that they specifically went after. And I had nuts. It's the best time of your life to be playing hockey between 16 and 18. I think that's pretty special.
Right. Well, no, for sure. But so then I didn't know that part of the story. So you weren't drafted. Were you listed when you showed up at camp, or were you just an invite to camp and made it out of camp?
I got listed the year before, or maybe I got listed. They actually were watching Darcy Tucker. They wanted to draft. They drafted Darcy Tucker, and I was a year behind him. Actually 2 years behind him because of my birthday. And so they ended up, because they were watching him, they saw me play a couple times. They figured no one else had seen me play, so they didn't draft me and waited until after the draft. And a couple months later, they called and were like, "Hey, Shane, I think we're going to list you." And so they ended up listing me. It's not like you have a choice.
Yeah.
It's so funny. People are like, "Well, you can control it, but at the same time, it's not like you have any real say." So I just accepted it. And my dad, actually, which is really cool, had played his junior hockey as a first junior team in Kamloops. I think they were called the Chiefs, the Kamloops Chiefs. And they came down from Smithers. They moved from Smithers to Kamloops. And so he lived and played in Kamloops his 18-year-old year, I think it was. So he played junior hockey there. So that was a unique and cool experience to go somewhere that my dad had. And I didn't know that he'd been there until we got to Kamloops and he told me. So
yeah,
it was one of those cool
experiences. Well, okay, so then you go, do you remember what the expectations were rolling into camp as a 16-year-old? Like, were you expected to stay, or was that a little bit of a shock to you?
Yeah, I mean, I thought up until this time, I thought I was a really good hockey player because I'd played, like, I hadn't played above A hockey. Like, I'd always played, I played a little bit of Jungle B the year before in Killam. Yeah. So the little town of Killam in central Alberta. And so I thought I was pretty good. And then I got to Kamloops and I was like, ooh, I'm in for it here. These guys are way better than me. And in Kamloops, we kept 5 16-year-olds that year. And I was, you know, the rotation where you play a game. I didn't play the first, we played in Tacoma our first game as a healthy scratch. And obviously now looking back, I recognize it kind of puts you where your depth chart kind of was at that time. But I got an opportunity to play, and over that year, I ended up getting a little bit more ice time. So then I played my 16-year-old year. I think I played like 50 games. So I played, you know, it's a healthy scratch, 22 games. And then my second year, I blew out my ACL like in February. So I was done my second year for 8 months or whatever. But yeah, it was a great place. But it was so much more about learning to play a game differently. As a kid, I learned to play the game one way where I had the puck the whole time and I could make plays and I could do stuff. And I got to Kamloops and they're like, "Yeah, you're not going to have the puck very often, so you got to figure out how to play without it." And that was probably the biggest thing that I learned and was very valuable.
Yeah. So, because I had the I was fortunate to have Jerome on, so your old teammate there in Kamloops, and so he talked a little bit about his story there as well, and how, you know, it was a culture driven thing that was explained to him about a month into the season, if I remember correctly, where what the process is, right? That you're not going to play, you will sit out, and I think he said he got one shift in the first and maybe two in the second. And then in the third, depends on the score, he'd maybe get a little bit more ice time, And was that like, how was that? Because, that's a hard thing, right? You said you're a heck of a hockey player coming in there. And now you do recognize you're around some good talent, but now you're in the stands and now you're not getting ice time. And would you ever second guess like that decision to be there at any point in that year?
I remember I grew up in an incredibly small little town. Like, my hometown has 75 people in it. We lived like 7 miles from town on gravel roads. So very kind of sheltered and incredibly fortunate, but very sheltered community. So I get to Kamloops and it's like the big city, supposedly. And then, and compared to Halkirk, it was huge. Oh, one sec. Did I lose you?
No, that's all right. You're there.
So I get to Kamloops. It's huge. I questioned Red Deer just got a team. I thought it would have been better for me to go to Red Deer. Not that you have a say in it. So that first year was hard. The only thing that kept me there was a relationship with the guys. We had an incredible group of guys that I became really close with. If I was focused on what my hockey was doing at that time, I probably would have. I was frustrated and disappointed. But at the same time, it was fun. We started winning the second half of the season. We got way better. They traded away one of the guys that I really liked. It was a guy named Brad Hammerbeck at the end of that season, that him and I lived close to each other. And, that was, it's tough when stuff like that happens. And as a player, you're always worried about yourself. And I think that was the hardest thing, was Kamloops really pushed the whole team thing, the team aspect. And then as you start to realize what it's really worth and what it's all about, then it seemed to get a little easier. But yeah, in the beginning, there is no way around that. It is really hard, and your pride takes a little bit of a beating. And you start to, until you realize it's not about you, which it's hockey is, that's the biggest sport, I think, in the world, that it's not about you. I mean, you have to go sit on the bench and let someone else play every, 2.5-3 minutes. And so it's definitely not about you when you're sitting on the bench. And and so there's that ability to start to understand that. And I agree, Kamloops, as much as it was hard, it's the best time of my life playing hockey. I loved it. And the guys and the people that were there were absolutely incredible. The players, they're still my closest friends. Those guys are the guys that you seem to grow up with as a young man and connect with.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. You mean Spokane, same thing. It obviously helps when you're winning too. You know what I mean? Like the winning of championships is a thing that binds you together. But I don't want to grind out this point, but like, I think it's really important for my audience to hear. Like you said, you loved it, but there was a point where you didn't love it. Like, you were actually in wondering if you made the right decision. And the thing that I like to highlight on this podcast is, generally speaking, and it's not always the case, but generally speaking, when the adversity is the highest and you do get through it, it is like the thing, like the galvanizing thing that actually has the most to do with who you are, right? And what makes you. Like, how do you separate that as a player? What's the advice to somebody now that's maybe going through something like that? You know, and there might be some silver lining here on the other side of it if they can get through it.
Well, I think struggling is a huge part of anything. Like, that is, it was written up on one of the walls where you struggle and succeed. Like, that's what you do. You struggle and then you succeed. And then you struggle and then you succeed. And then you struggle. And it's a never ending battle. And if you don't, I don't think you really understand who you are and what you're capable of doing. And just because it's, people always say to me, like, and I'm not trying that, well, you made it to the NHL, it was worth it. I'm like, yeah, but even if I hadn't, it was still worth it. Like, even if I hadn't, and lots of times I have a joke, I have more losses than anybody in the NHL. I've lost more games than anyone in the history of the NHL. So I've learned to struggle a little bit more, but, it's one of those things that it's a badge of honor that you, as you battle through things and things aren't easy and it's hard and you learn from it, you take that with you forever. Whether or not I figured out, whether I played in the NHL or got a chance to play any more hockey, what Kamloops taught me was character. It's not about me. It's, you know, doing what's best for the group, putting others first, being a team player, doing all those things. That became more my identity than being a hockey player. Like whether or not I played hockey or not, I would have used those in every aspect of my life. I didn't figure that out until I was probably 35, like at the end of my NHL career. But I think that that part, when I started to realize that, and then I look back over my career, whether I'd made it in Kamloops or not, it established a foundation that was really special. And failing isn't a bad thing. Failing is actually a good thing. It shows that you kind of put it on the line and you attempted something. If you never ever fail, then you're never really putting anything on the line, in my opinion. Right.
No, man, like so much good stuff there. And, you know, I couldn't agree more. And I think, again, knowing who my audience is, and usually it's, you know, it's young athletes that you know, want to put a jersey on one day and are trying to make it. And it's the parents of those players too, you know, for the most part. And I think one of the reasons why I have a job in what I do right now and helping athletes with their confidence and their mindset is that a lot of them aren't, like, anytime there's, like, you talk about the struggle and then the succeed, like us as parents, like we, you know, like you don't want to see Johnny fall. You don't want to see him crying. You don't want to see him upset. Right. And so we try and carve this path. And I think it becomes, I heard a term the other day that I thought was great. And it was a bulldozer parent, you know, like that. It's not even a helicopter. Yeah. We're just getting the stuff out of the way. You know what I mean? So it's smooth sailing. And I think if you haven't had the opportunity to go through it, then where does the confidence come from to know that you can?
Yeah. And when you fail, which we are going to fail, like that's life. Like that's not a, but if you learn from it, then it's not really that big of a deal. Like I got cut from teams. I had opportunities to play in, you know, in different spots and it never worked out. And you're always like, well, was that a failure? No, I mean, it wasn't what I wanted, but I ended up, I'm doing okay and I'm happy and I'm excited about the next challenge that's coming my way. So realistically, I succeeded. I know that if you can get through a failure, if you can get through something that knocks you down and then you're able to get back up and pursue something else and go after something else, then man, you are succeeding. Like you are doing well. And that's the stuff that I think parents are so quick to protect each other, their kids. And it's like, yeah, but life isn't going to protect them. I know you're trying to, but there's going to be some awful things that are going to happen in life. And that's why as a parent, you sometimes have to let them fall. And not that I have four kids and I'm probably have bulldozed my way through too many things for them. So I'm not by any means, but I do recognize now as my kids are older that sometimes that's just what you have to do.
Yeah, you got to sit back and support the best you can and let them get through it. I guess the hard part, I think, for a lot of parents is like, when is it not a good environment? Yeah. You know, like, when is it the wrong environment? And I think, you mean, looking back now for you guys, like Kamloops was obviously a great culture-driven environment. Like that was actually a good place to be a 16-year-old that wasn't playing, you know, because that was what the breeding ground was. Those were the hazing, right? That was the stepping stone that you had to do. Everyone did it. Darcy Tucker did it. Everyone before you did it, right? So it's like, okay, this is my turn to do it. And I think what really struck a chord for me, at least one of my take homes from Jerome was when he had that conversation and it was finally communicated to him. And then it became a little bit easier for him to understand that it's not about me not being a good player. It's just about the way we do things here. You know, and my time will come. And right now, do the best that you can with the opportunity you're given. Soak it all up. Be the best teammate that you can, and it'll be your turn. Like the torch will come to you. You know, and I think that, and now in the position you're at, I'm sure there's a lot of culture discussion about how do we do this, right? Like how do we create this environment, this ecosystem for guys to succeed? And I think if you are in it at a 16-year-old level like that, that is awesome. Right. When you are just a number, though, in an environment like that, that's when you maybe have to be a little bit more cautious about what's going on and maybe try and find something else. I mean, it's such a complicated thing, you know, I know, but goodness, I think the communication piece, I guess, for me was one of my takeaways that probably was helpful for you guys there in that environment.
Oh, yeah. it was communicated that it wasn't about you.
Yeah,
very clearly. And that was, and it was good. Like, and as a player, that was, as you bought into and started to understand that, like, be a teammate, like, be somebody that, that others want to play with, be a guy that's going to do the little things for your teammate. If your job is to drive the middle, then drive the middle. If your job is to be the first guy in the forecheck to force the guy up the wall so someone else gets a puck, then be the first guy, you know, drive the middle and force the guy up the wall so your teammate gets a puck. And in Kamloops, they did a good job. And I think the players, as much as anybody, like the group of players, we had Craig Bonner was our captain, who to this day, people always ask about your, you know, they love to ask about who the leaders and captains were that that you had when you were playing. And for me, Craig Bonner was one of those guys that, that always exemplified what I thought a true captain was, where he put everyone ahead of his own personal game. And he always did whatever it was and had time for a 16-year-old kid that probably was a little bit teary-eyed and worked up about the fact he wasn't playing and, yeah, and that he wasn't at home and was missing his family and missing, you know, and Bones would sit down with you and just walk you through. I thought he did an incredible job of kind of setting the table with that. And then obviously the group of guys that we had there was, we were fortunate to have guys that, that were good men that cared about us.
Just want to take a short break from my conversation with Shane Doan to chat a little bit about my hockey, which is going through a website rebuild right now. So I'm excited to be launching a new website shortly. Doing some new photos, so I can look a little bit more at my age. And yeah, there's also some other exciting stuff going on, in the background, but I wanted to talk about my inner circle. And this is something that, I'm starting to become like really, really proud of. And in the sense of what it is that we are creating there with the inner circle, it was an idea that I had for people who had graduated my Peak Potential Hockey Project. So once you had taken the Peak Potential Hockey Project, which is my 4-week mindset and personal development program, which is very relevant to today's conversation. I mean, we're hearing Shane Doan talk about how he feels the virtues of you know, the mental game and mental health and character and are driving factors in overall, you know, performance, high performance, chasing your goals and dreams, and also like how to be successful in life. And that essentially is what the Peak Potential Hockey Project is teaching the mental skills and the mental techniques and some strategies to reach your goals and dreams, to become a better person, to figure out how you can accomplish whatever it is that you want in hockey, or at least give you the best chance in order to do it. And along the way, you become empowered and you become confident. And there's all these great things that happen that I see time and time again with players taking the program. However, when the program was over and the kids graduated or the players graduated, there was really nothing else for them. They could become a private client was an option for some, but I can only work with so many players. So that didn't always work. And there was really nothing else for them. So I developed something that originally I just called the group coaching program, and now it's called the Inner Circle. And that's where these players who have graduated the Peak Potential Project, we come together every 2 weeks and we get on a call. And I give them an assignment outside of the call. So there's videos for them to watch that I have hand selected with an assignment for them now to articulate what they learned or what I would like them to focus on and to send in to me. And then we get on a call together and we go over what the assignment was. And we talk about any type of personal coaching things that they might want to share or talk about, any challenges that they're experiencing. And now the beauty is, I think for me, the beauty is that these players get involved because they want to continue on their development journey. They want to continue on, you know, flexing their muscles when it comes to mindset and personal development and taking advantage of this competitive edge that they now have seen, right? That they can step in with both feet and then they want to keep going. They want there to be more. So that is the reason generally they get going, and then they want to maintain access to me and they like the coaching aspect of that. And that's all great. But the beauty of this thing, I find, is the community that's created within these calls. Like, these kids end up being cheerleaders for each other, and there's all different age groups. So we have, you know, we have kids in Alberta Junior Hockey League. We have players in U18 AAA. We have players that are U13 AAA or AA. And they get to learn from each other. We have goalies. We have people in prep schools on the East Coast. We have players from everywhere, and they're all going through different stuff. Some are in a celebratory mood. Some are in a place where they're experiencing challenge or newness or whatever, the confidence lows, maybe a slump. And so we can talk about all these things that are going on collectively in a group, and they're learning from each other. They're learning how to be a team. They're learning how to support one another and able to ask them questions that allows them to take leadership positions and make suggestions for other players. And it is really becoming like this really beautiful thing that I'm super proud of, and mostly because of the people in it and how they're participating. So really exciting thing that's going on with Up My Hockey. And, you know, if you have access to something wherever you're listening, that would be awesome. I totally recommend like some type of a peer group where they can support each other and not necessarily on the same team, because sometimes you need that separation. And anyways, we've got something great here at Up My Hockey. I'm really, really thankful for the people who are participating. And if that is something that you think that you might be interested in, that, I mean, I do highly recommend it. The only caveat for me working with me and with my inner circle is that you do have to take the Peak Potential program. That's something that they all have in common. You know, we all have this foundational sort of piece of material that they've taken, so we can build off of that. But it is really exciting to see. And I thought it was an appropriate time to bring it up. One, because of the success that the players are having in there and like the feedback that I'm getting from them directly, but also just listening to what Shane Doan is talking about, you know, this idea of how to be a teammate and how to be, you know, a part of a group and how to be selfless and learn and have humility and all these things. And it's like, you know what, like, this is actually like, that's happening in this inner circle that we've created. So super cool that we can talk about that. They are using it off an app. I haven't released the app yet to everyone out there. It's only for people who have graduated the Peak Potential Project and who are in the inner circle. So they're kind of like my beta group now going through it, and that's going really well. So you guys can watch for that here in the coming, I don't know. I'm really kind of dragging my feet on the big overall launch of it, but there will be different levels of membership. The inner circle is kind of the second highest level if you're not a private client. And then there's also going to be a pro membership, or what I call my top prospects, which is a lower price point, but you're still going to get the lessons, you're still going to get the videos, you're still going to get access to a coaching call from me once a week where I will be answering questions and doing feedback. So there's going to be lots of exciting stuff happening. And these things are available. Like, I just want everyone to know that it is available, and using hockey, you know, as this, you know, this piece that is so important to all of us. And whether it be our kids that are listening right now and the players that want to be awesome, or the parents that want to support their dreams, that it's starting to become recognized that this is not a solo journey, that this isn't just about learning how to shoot the puck hard and how to skate hard. It's also about developing as a human. And the more we develop as humans, and the more that we are able to handle, navigate, adversity, challenges. I mean, that's one thing. Also how to evolve and support each other in an ecosystem that is a team environment like hockey is completely another. And these aren't things that you should just think we should have figured out. These are things that either you have them or you have not. These are all skill sets that we can improve and we can develop. And again, massively transferable to anything outside of the game as well. So lots of fun stuff there at Up My Hockey, upmyhockey.com. If you want to check out the new website here in the coming weeks, by all means do it. And I couldn't be prouder of the group again. The inner circle is rocking it. And I want to get you back to the conversation with Shane, because I know you're enjoying it as much as I am. So without further ado, let's pop back into the conversation with Shane Doan. The reality that, you know, I mean, as good as you were probably at 16, you know, and as good as Jerome probably was at 16, like, you're looking at guys like me playing in Spokane, and I had 36 as a 16-year-old.
Oh, I know. I remember.
But I remember. So I say that super humbly, but like, and I just kind of lucked into an opportunity myself there with Scott Townsend getting hurt. I was a centerman at the time, and I ended up started playing on the power play like the last 20 games of the season, just completely caught fire, right? But you, what I'm saying that is like, so you see guys around you, maybe in different environments that are getting ice time, that are getting points. And now you're like, well, what the hell? I know I'm as good as him, or I could be as good as him or better or whatever, right? And you get into that game too.
Oh, without a doubt. And then that's, I think that it's so important to know that the path you're on is not the same. Like, that's the one thing that I was fortunate. My mom and dad instilled a whole bunch of things that were really, I didn't appreciate when I was younger, and I assumed everyone got it taught to them over and over again and pounded into them, but they did. And I was very blessed. And like the path that you're on, like, I don't know where my path was. I didn't know where my path was going to end. Like, so I couldn't get caught up if someone what I thought was further ahead of me or further behind me. I mean, the guy that was behind me, his path might have went way longer than mine ever would. And mine might end and go in a total different direction out of, you know, which would have been, I would have been excited about, would have been upset at the moment, but it really, that was the thing that I tried to hold on to. But yeah, it was hard at times. Like, and I think that's the hardest thing with hockey teams and hockey players is you see stat sheets and everyone wants to go off the stat sheet. And I always talk with my boy when we're talking about his game, and it's like, don't confuse, you know, two great moments in a game for a good game, because you had two great moments and you got an assist and a goal, but you didn't play a very good game. Like, that the stats are saying, and hey, scoring's hard, and scoring 36 as a 16-year-old was freaking amazing to me. We were all staring at you watching you do it, because there was like Mike Josephson and myself and Nolan Baumgartner, Nat Domenichelli, who was a Bob Motti, I think, and then we had one more guy. Anyways, the five of us were watching you over in Spokane just light it up. It was crazy. And then Freezer was over on the other side, the two of you lighting guys. It up. You yeah. Two were just making the game look so easy. And it wasn't easy. It was not easy, and it was not lucky. And I could never have done that anyways, but it is true that you get caught up kind of seeing where everyone else is, and then it affects your own game.
What about, okay, so one thing that I didn't know at the time, and I probably didn't know until even when I was in the game as a 30-year-old pro, but like now being a father really changed a lot for me, just about thinking about the man that I am, thinking about, you know, and then getting into like what kind of teammate maybe I was, or like all these types of questions, right? And I really started to realize and now believe and now know in my heart of hearts that like the character intangibles required to reach your potential, like they have to be there. Like they're mandatory, you know? Yeah. Yeah. And I don't mean good person, bad person either. Like, but I do mean like humility. I do mean like the willingness to persevere, you know, resilience, even leadership and the ability to be a teammate. Like all those things are so fundamental, like in a career such as yours, which is, I mean, you're lauded for that. You mean, it doesn't matter who you talk to. Anyone who knows Shane Doan will speak to your humility and how easy you are to talk to and everything else. And I think that's amazing, but it's true and it's authentic and it's real. If you could point, and maybe not really right at yourself, but maybe like when you talked about your parents and what they were driving home that you didn't understand was important, that probably became a fabric of who you were and your longevity, like what would those things be?
Oh, the humility thing is probably, I always joke, it's one of my greatest strengths is my humility. No, my wife will point that out and we'll laugh about that. Like yeah. People, it's like, really? That's yeah. No. I'm being sarcastic when I say, but that line is one of my favorite lines to say, cause it's like, oh yeah. But the idea that it was that, it's a gift, like it's a God-given gift in my opinion. And if you think that we were talking about actually today, I was talking about a little bit, and if you were born 6'2", you get to be 6'2", whatever, 225 pounds. I didn't do anything to deserve that. Like that was handed to me. And if I think that I'm going to outwork or outperform or out people, I couldn't be further from the truth, because I promise you there's a guy that was born 5'1", 114 pounds, that would outwork me every single day that I ever dreamed of, and was more dedicated and more disciplined and more willing to do the little things than I ever was. And he just wasn't given the opportunity because of what I had been just given. It wasn't anything other than that. And so when I accept that it was a gift that was given, then I think it really drives in that idea that, okay, this is something that I need to be humble and grateful for. And then there comes a responsibility with that too, because you're given something, then you need to take care of it and you need to steward it and make sure you do those things. But probably the biggest thing that I think is that it's about relationships and it's about the people that you get to play with. And we talked about it a little bit earlier. I think that's sports in general. I think that's as you watch sports and you see the analytic side. So for so long in sports, it was all about the physical side. It was Ivan Drago, where they build people up and you make these machines that are unbreakable. And, you know, remember, I love the Rocky IV. It's what a great movie, but you know, that was the physical side. And then all of a sudden you see a show like Moneyball, where now it's starting to talk about the analytic side. And so they're starting to break it down. I think the next evolution of sports and everything is going to be the psychological, spiritual, human side. Like the human side of, we got to create these people that the things that you said, that the character comes out in. Because when things go bad, and they're going to go bad in professional sports or sports in general or competition, it doesn't have to be sports, things are going to go against you and you're going to get an unlucky bounce and things aren't going to go the way that you think they should, because life never ever does. Well, how are you going to handle that? How's your mental capabilities going to handle that? What makes Tom Brady so special is his psychology, the ability that he has to kind of handle that. Okay, well, what gives him that psychology? What are his belief factors? What are the things that kind of go into all of that? And when you start to add that into the people that you're helping, as you talk to young people, it matters. Like, the character matters. Like, you learning to do the things right, it matters. And
yeah.
And anyways, that's kind of a long way around of saying, like, that's what my parents would force. It was there. My dad was always big on a few different things, but it was do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. Like, those are three things that you do what's right. You're thankful for what you're given and the mercy that has been shown to you, and then walk humbly because of it. So yeah. Those are things that I think if you can get those things in your life, you're going to enjoy and have way more success, yeah. Whether it's hockey or anything, but
100%. And that, I mean, geez, that was so well said. I mean, and it's one of the things that why I'm so passionate about what I do now is for the reason that you just ended with, is like, not only does, I say better, one of my quotes is for my tagline is, better humans make better hockey players.
Yep. Yep.
And so, like, if I can do anything there, I mean, and again, as humbly as possible, but to help, like, with guide and understand what these intangibles are, I mean, not only allow you to practice better and develop quicker, but be a better teammate and to, you know, build these relationships with coaches or people around you that are going to now support you in this journey. Like, that helps you wherever, it right? Does. Yes, it's going to help you with your dream of being a hockey player, but we all know how hard that is. Like, we all know how hard that is, right? And so some people are going to fail, to your point, with that, but they are still going to succeed because they know some of these things and they're able to use them wherever they go. So I do love that about this line that we're talking about, is that this isn't like power skating. You know, this isn't a skill session that, yeah, you're going to get better at your physical skills. Like, this is something that when you invest in yourself in that way, you take that with you forever. Right. And I do think that whether you have somebody that's helping you with that, or whether you're just immersed in the sport, a team sport like hockey, and it is one of the greatest one out there to teach it. Like, there is by association that you're picking up some of this stuff. Yep. Right. And if you can be intentional about picking it up, be more of a sponge, like, wow. I mean, this is like, I'm talking, you get a big advantage.
Huge. I think that's one of the coolest things about our sport, is that you go as hard as you can go. For 45 seconds, you lay it on the line, you do everything you can, and then you come off the ice and you have to trust that the next person going out, and you have to give them the freedom to do it. And then when they come back off, they're trusting you. And so there's this idea that you're so important when you're on the ice. Like when you're on the ice as a five, when you go out on the one of the six guys, including the goalie on the ice, you're so important. It's not like you can go out there and not really pull your weight. So you matter, and I think everyone wants to feel like they matter, and everyone wants to feel like they're important, and you matter when you're on the ice. But when you get off the ice, you have to be able to release that and be a teammate and watch and cheer and be somebody that's helping just from the sidelines. And there comes a humility with that that I think, as you said, just by being in the sport, you start to realize, wow, if I want to have success in this sport, I got to figure out how that works. And I got to figure out how that impacts my teammates, how I impact my teammates. For a 60-minute game, I'm only actually on the ice for 20 minutes of it if I'm, you know, a high-end player. Yeah. So then I got to figure out how the other 40 minutes I'm capable of helping. Like, am I dragging the team down? Am I being a drain, or am I being a fountain? Am I a guy that's pumping more into my teammates? Like, how is my coach? Am I distracting my coach? Am I helping my coach? Am I listening? Am I able to react and change what I'm doing in a game? And that part of our game is special and unique and unlike any other sport. Like, the line changes is something that people always want to talk to you about if they've never ever seen, you know, isn't that the truth in the US? It's like, how do you know when to go on? Well, when I'm exhausted, I get off. And that next guy goes, well, you mean how exhausted? Totally exhausted. Like, I'm totally exhausted, I get off the ice. But you're only on there for like 35, 40 seconds. No. You go as hard. Try running a 200-meter sprint and then come tell me how far you can go again. You know, like that's... Anyways, yeah. I love our sport, and I think you're bang on, and I think that what you said, the good people make better hockey players. Oh, that is so true, Pods. Like that is, I believe that. My son came home with a little project from school. He's like in kindergarten or like and it was a glass, and he filled it, and it, whatever you pour into the glass, when you bump the glass, it's going to spill out all over. So if you have pure, clean water and it spills all over, it's not a big mess. But if you have like black ink and like dye and like a dirty mess, like a liquid that's gross and sick and unhealthy, and it gets spilled all over, it's going to cause a huge mess. So whatever is inside your glass, when you get bumped, and hockey's going to bump you because you're going to fail, it's going to spill on those around you. So you got to make sure you're filling that with some stuff that's positive and good and pure, because when it spills, it's going to create a mess for everyone around you. That, I was like, that was an awesome one. For my son taught me that, or my daughter, when they were like in kindergarten or elementary school.
Yeah, so. That's great. No, I love that. Yeah, and hockey's totally a sport like that. I mean, for sure. And in the dressing room, I love talking to players, especially at the junior level, about what the dressing room feels like, you know, and how everyone has a different energy, you know, a different way to prepare, and allowing people to be individuals. But like within that ecosystem, you can be, I love your term, I've never heard that before, but the drain or the fountain, right? Like how are you contributing when it comes to an energy standpoint, you know, and all those things like matter for opportunity, it matters for longevity, it matters for like who wants to get behind you and around you. And I think for me, like I always felt, and I think I have my teammates would back me on this because of how many people have come on the podcast and stuff. Like I always loved my group, my boys, right? Like that was number one for me. Is like you block a shot, fight for a guy, like all that stuff I was all about. For me in my own personal journey, I never felt connected to my coaching staff ever. Like ever. And I don't know why. I think it was more like my own issue, not really their issue. But training staff, I was always tight with them. But for some reason, there was a disconnect with the coaches. And that's one thing that I now am really cognizant about working with when I'm working with the players, is like being authentic in that environment with who you are, right? Like don't be phony, but be real and be accessible and be engaged, right? Because those are the guys that determine whether you're on the ice or not, or whether you're like, up or, and, it, yes. And I make that sound now that it's like, you know, you're trying to finesse, but it's not about that at all. It's just about, this is actually, you need a support team. You can't do it by yourself. Your teammates have to be there, and you need guys that want to support you. And Brett Howden, who I just had on as a guest, like he was a prime example him saying that and also Dave Oliver saying that, like, there was a lot of guys they could have taken the year that he made the team, but they took him because he was a really, really good guy. And yeah. they wanted him to succeed. Like, out of everyone, they wanted him to succeed. They wanted to help him succeed, you know? And it's like, I think we miss that sometimes as young athletes who think we're good and, you know, that we're going to do this on our own. And, you know, like, we kind of get disconnected sometimes where we can. But that was, for me personally, one of the biggest lessons is like, allow people to help you. Did you ever have an issue? Like, how were you with that? Like, and those relationships?
Yeah, I think that's huge. And I think that coaching has changed drastically.
Yeah, that's true too.
From when
I got a little bit of slack on that.
Yeah. I was petrified of your guys' coach in Spokane. I wasn't even on your team. I remember Maxim Betts and Valerie would like do something, or you would do something, and I could hear Matt Bryan starts screaming, and I'd be like, oh my gosh, guys, just do whatever he says. Like, stop doing, well, I don't know what he wants you to do, but do it, because I'm getting scared over here on the bench. Like, the world has changed drastically. Yeah. And Brian Maxwell was one of those guys, and a couple of my friends had him, and he was intimidating and scary, but he was also someone that really cared about his guys, I've heard. And I don't know that from experience, but I've heard.
Yeah.
But you're right. Your personality is, we never played together. We've met a few times and we're friends, but it's because of how approachable you are. Like, you were a guy that, as a player, I was like, I could hang out with him. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, he was, and that matters. It really does. Like, right. And I agree 100%. I think of all the guys in my career that were better than me that never got the same chance that I got, because there's an element of, okay, it's not about me. I'm going to do whatever I can to help the room be better. And I think that the coaches ended up liking that. If it was authentic, like, it's not like you can scheme your way to it. I think it has to become kind of, okay, I'm going to do the right thing, whether it works or not this time, because it's the right thing to do. And sometimes it doesn't. There's coaches that weren't as big a fans of me because of the personality at the time wasn't exactly the personality that they deemed a hockey player. I got told over and over that I wasn't mean enough or whatever when I was, which I found funny, but at the same time it was one of those things that, you know, coaches didn't like you to be smiley and happy when you didn't have a bunch of goals. But that's who I was. Like, I wasn't going to change who I was. It wasn't going to dictate my personality, but I was fortunate that it did help me. And there's, hey, you're not going to get along with everyone. I got some friends that I'm really, really close with. And I got some other people that have came and went through my life that I'm not as close with. And that doesn't make them better or worse than my friends. It just means that our personalities didn't mix. But you have to be one of the guys that are willing to at least make an effort and show that, hey, I understand you're the authority figure. I'm going to have to honor and respect you and show you the respect that you deserve in that position. And if my game fits what you want, great. And if it doesn't, that's just one person's opinion. Like, that was a part that was hard to get over for a long time for me, because I tend to be trying to want to be a people pleaser. And if someone doesn't like it, it's not that they didn't like me. They just didn't like my game. Like, my game wasn't what they wanted. They wanted someone that was fast and could score goals. Well, I probably wasn't your guy. If you wanted someone that could play, you know, somewhat physical and somewhat, you know, get to the net once in a while and do stuff like that, then I could be someone you could work with. But it was one of those things that it's hard with coaches sometimes.
There you go again, your greatest skill, Mr. 402 goals that say you can't score goals.
Yeah, 402 goals in the most games ever. 1,500 games, got 400 goals. Great job. So if you play 400, play 1,500 games, you should have more than 400 goals. I know that.
Just want to take a little time out here to thank you again, the listener, for being here, whether it's your first time or your 122nd time. I thank you for all the support and for being here and for listening and for making this thing happen for as long as it's been happening. I still kind of pinch myself thinking that this has just become part of my life, having these conversations and sharing them with you. And the evolution of that has been super interesting. And to have the likes of Patrick Marleau and Shane Doan and to have conversations that matter to me and obviously matter to you too, in a space that's free, right? Like, you know, that I can give back to a game that's given me so much. And that is really what we're trying to do here with the development aspect and the lessons and the inner workings and the struggles of all my guests and trying to share what's really going on. You know, what's the real secret sauce and what is really going to support athletes in their journey? And hopefully you are getting some of those. I know they're there if you want to listen to them. And I think that's one of the things when I talk to my clients, like, what are you listening for and what questions are you asking? Because that matters, right? There is information all around us. We're bombarded with things daily and we need to have a filter. And what that filter is depends on you and what you want to listen for and the questions that you want to ask. I say that our brain is an information machine and it will find you answers, but you have to ask it the questions that you want answers to. Not what's wrong, but how about what's right? Or what can I learn from this? Or how does this apply to me? How can this piece of information make me better? And when you start asking questions like that, wow, the world can really open up. And I believe that hopefully the majority of these episodes are allowing players and parents to do that and to hear that. And so thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. And also thank you for sharing your stories and your reviews on whatever platform you listen to. I know I've done a shout out the last few times for people who have taken the time to review the podcast, and I promised that I would read some of them, and today I'm choosing to read from, I think I know who this is, but it's a Soyuz fan is the handle, and it's 5 stars, and it goes like this. It says, a must listen for anyone pursuing their dream, whether you're pursuing your dream in hockey, your dream in your personal life, or in your career. Jason's remarkable knack for breaking down the mystery and the trials and tribulations of success is remarkable. I have both my teenage sons listening to this podcast on a regular basis, and we can have conversations far deeper about life as a result. Thank you, Jason. That one really warms my heart because for me, I hope this is something that, you know, inspires conversations and motivates, you know, mothers and sons and daughters and fathers and family discussions around the dinner table about some of the intangibles and some of the ideas and concepts that are brought up here. Because again, what questions are we asking? What conversations are we choosing to have? And I think that there are a lot of ideas here in this episode with Donor that are worth having conversations about. You know, one of the things, and I will share a little coaching thing here when I'm working with players, and it's part of my Peak Potential project, but it is, we have these goals and dreams, and oftentimes we break these things down into physical skills, right? Things that either we're really good at and we're going to improve, or maybe things that we identify as a weakness and might hold us back. And these are things that as parents and as players, like we invest in, you know, we invest in our strength, or we invest in our conditioning, or we invest in our power skating or our edge work, or maybe equipment even that's going to support some of these things. But one of the questions I ask in week two of my program is, what personal intangibles are holding you back or may hold you back? You know, where's the gap in your character or in your humanity or in your ability to be a teammate that might be an obstacle for you? And when we start thinking like that, again, asking the types of questions that maybe we haven't asked before, now we get kind of brand new answers. And when we recognize that, hey, maybe I'm not a supportive enough teammate in the locker room, now we can have an intention about what that can look like for us. Even the next day when we show up at the rink, you know, how am I going to be a better teammate? How am I going to be more supportive? What's a way that I can step forward with this skill to become more valuable to my team? And as Shane Doan said, like, how about during a game when if you play a lot, you're on the ice for 20 minutes, there's 40 minutes where you're doing nothing on the bench except recovering and hopefully supporting the other players that are on the ice. So these are questions that I like to ask. And I think when we're having, I mean, back to the testimonial here, the review saying that we're having some conversations, that this podcast is hopefully allowing people to have conversations about some pretty cool stuff. I hope that's the type of thing we're leading to, you know, especially with this podcast here. Where can we grow as parents and as players, and how can we become a better human, allowing us to be a better athlete for the hockey players here, a better hockey player. And I would take that really, really seriously. It's something that I've become more and more and more positive about, like completely convinced in my head that it is one of the biggest competitive advantages out there right now, is our ability to grow as people and to be good people within a team environment like hockey. That is one of the easiest ways to stand out and to make the team and to stay on the team and to grow on the team. So anyways, that's a long, usually I don't take this long in my review portion. I turn into a coach here for a little bit, so I have to apologize, but that is what it's all about. And if you are somebody that has listened here, and if you enjoy our conversations, and if you have not shared that you like them in a public way, you know, meaning writing a review and using Apple Podcasts to share how you feel about the show, then please do, because it really does help me get out there. It helps the podcast with the distribution, and it really helps impact more people that are hopefully trying to make the most out of this journey through hockey. So thank you for those who have, and for those who haven't, please take the 5 seconds here or 10 seconds it takes to pause the show and to write your review and share what the podcast means to you. So thanks so much for listening. Let's get back to the podcast with Shane Doan. As you're thinking that, I mean, you've talked about the next evolution of hockey, and you've said it much better than I could ever say. And I totally agree with that statement. But the thing I think is interesting is, like, one of the things I do here locally is I help a local minor hockey association where we're talking about culture and the coaches are around that and how to do it. And I think that there's way too much emphasis on the hockey when you're a hockey coach. And I know that sounds silly, but you know what I mean? Like, here we are, you and I, talking about the importance of, you know, being a teammate and the character intangibles and all these things that are required that are going to help you outside of the game. Yet we have these hockey coaches that are all focused on, you know, breakout and you know, the skills and the inside edges. Like, how do we do that in hockey and really build great people? Like, do you have any type of strategy with that? Like, to a message to any coaches out there, to how do you incorporate that into a yearly plan to really build good humans?
Well, yeah, I think, like, and it's so funny because every one of those coaches will point out, I don't think any of you, the chances of any of you making it are so remote. We're out here to have fun. We're out here to develop you. We're out here to make you a better person. All right. And now for the next 9 months that I'm with you, I'm only going to talk to you about forecheck and backcheck and this stuff. And it's like, man, you have opportunities to be open and honest about, I think, just recognizing what you just said, that we could make better. We have the ability to influence people's lives in such a better way than just the hockey. And yet I love hockey. Like, I think, and I think it's a tool that people can use to better their lives and to learn so much. And anyone that doesn't think that or doesn't understand sports and doesn't understand human nature. And I think the realities of life are that we have to find ways to, as a coach, get to know the kids. Like, get to know them. Like, get to know who their brothers are, their sisters are, who their parents are, who their grandparents and grandparents are. Understand what they like and don't like. Some of the kids are there just because their parents are forcing them to be there. That's the only reason they're there, is that they think they had to, or their brother played, or whatever. Yeah. But if you engage them as a person and engage them as a young person, and they start to understand that they matter to you, not only will they become better hockey players, but they'll learn so much more, and you'll have an opportunity to have an influence on making people better. And what you're doing, Pods, is so cool, because it is so needed, especially now when you start to hear about the mental side and the mental, just mental health of young people is so important. And hockey should be an opportunity where that grows and it gives them strength, where they're going to fail. Yeah. They're going to fail at hockey. You're going to get beat. You're going to lose. There's going to be times when the game, you lost the game because of you. When is there a better example of showing a kid how you handle that and how you deal with that in an environment that doesn't mean anything? It doesn't mean anything if you lose a game 4-3 and you lose the game. Like, realistically, it means nothing.
Yeah.
Except for it's an opportunity to teach them, like, hey, it's okay. Like, this is what happened. This is maybe why we practice. This is why we do all of these things, so that when we're in this environment, we have the ability to make the right play. But you're going to learn, you're going to get better, you're going to get stronger. And guess what? 2 years from now, you're going to be a better hockey player because of this mistake and because of what just happened. And so you're going to see this development and you're going to see this mental growth. And when you have that, the dopamines that are produced when you see growth in yourself,
yeah,
it changes people. It makes people better. And that's what I agree. Like, this is so cool that you're doing this. And I get so excited about it, because it is. It matters. It matters way more than the game itself.
Yeah.
The game is fun. We love to play it because it's fun. And I'm addicted to it because I enjoy having fun and I love it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really matter that much.
Yeah, the intrinsic, isn't that, I mean, I love you saying that, when you, and for me, that's like, that's when my eyes get all shiny, is like when they believe that what they've done has made a difference.
Oh.
Like that's, yep, like that's the, like that's all I want from anyone that I work with, is like that to me, that's empowerment and that's confidence, like right there, yep, like that I have a choice in how I do business that's going to affect the results that I get. And I think that that's, when an athlete gets that and they understand the different ways that they can influence at their own development and their own growth, is there's a lot of momentum behind that.
Agree. And that's the part that's what we're called to do, I think, as adults now. Like, we're now in the position where we've experienced more in life than the kids that we're coaching. So let's help them to understand what's the best way and the path to getting the most out of it. Like, that's, and it's not by giving them what they want all the time. Like, I'm not saying that. Like, that's actually the exact opposite of what we should be doing.
Yeah.
They work for it, battle for it, fight for it. And then when you get it, it's worth that much more. But if it's handed to you before you've earned it, you don't value it. And so that's why it's,
and there's no lesson there.
No, yeah, none.
No lesson there. The, you mentioned about the losses and like the, you know, whatever, the falls, like, the one thing, and definitely use it if you want to, but like, I love saying to everybody, is like, what happens next?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the defining moment. It's not, you're going to screw up, I promise you. Somebody loses the opening faceoff, you know, every night, right? Like, what happens next?
I like that.
Right? Like, what happens next? You know, like, what happens after that loss? How do you guys interact as teammates? How do you interact with the individual that maybe made the mistake? Like, what happens next when you miss on the, whatever that is, right? And I think when athletes start thinking about that too, is like, because that's really like, what type of person and/player am I? You know, am I a second, third effort guy? Am I somebody that's not going to sit in the bench pouting? Am I going to help my teammate? And when we can respond to that, well, what happens next? I know what happens next. You know, like, this is how I'm going to respond, or at least how I want to strive to respond. And even identifying what that is, now you can make steps to become that person, because there is decisions in those moments that sometimes we're not aware of. So I really like kind of talking about that. And Donor, like, my goodness, here we are. I got to let you go because I know that you got to go. But
yeah.
If you can,
I just saw the time. I'm like, oh yeah, I better go. I'd love to. I enjoy this.
Knows, I want to say this before, and I hope I get you back. Like, Shane Doan played in the NHL for 2 years and then was in the minors for a half a season, which we didn't even get a chance to talk about that because there's a lot of psychology going on in that. So we have that. Plus he has a son that was we'll call him a late bloomer, but got drafted the first year, came back, got drafted the second year, and it looks like he has a burgeoning career. So there's lots of stuff I think that we can still sink our teeth into if you're willing to come back for us one day.
I definitely will, because this is my passion. Like, of all things in what I enjoy, this I enjoy. Like, you can tell when I get, I love this because it's what matters. It's the reality of life. Like, this is, hockey's great. I love hockey. Obviously, I've been doing it my whole life.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. I can't wait to get on the ice and do it again and goof around and have fun. But the whole point of it is to create people that are capable of helping others and be there for others. And I think hockey exposes character more than I think any other thing in sports. Obviously, there's other things in life, but as a sport, it exposes character. It creates it, but it really exposes it. Yeah. It really tends to expose them. And if we can find a way that our coaches and people like yourself doing this help create it so that when it's exposed, people can really enjoy it. And this is cool. This is cool, awesome. Pods. And,
okay, well, you go do you.
Okay.
Thanks so much for coming on today. And whatever, I got your number. We'll be in touch and we'll get you on here for part two one of these days. Thanks so
that
much.
That would be awesome. Thanks so much. See you guys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
All right. Thank you so much for being here for that conversation with Shane Doan. I have to remind you that was part one. Shane is a man of his word. You don't get to be a leader of an NHL team and wear the C on your chest and win the awards that he won when it comes to leadership if you're not authentic with your with what you say. I'm sure what he says is what he does. So I will hold him to it on behalf of you all who want to listen to part two of that conversation. I really do want to know how Shane, you know, how he handled that as a young man, 20-year-old, going to the minors and riding the bus in Springfield and maybe not knowing, you know, if he was going back or if he deemed himself as a failure for having to go there and what type of mental gymnastics he had to do to overcome that. So really excited about continuing that conversation. I also want to talk to him about being a hockey dad and the support of his son on his journey and maybe some trials and pitfalls and lessons that he can share with that. And definitely lots of good things to come with that interview. But for those of you who are here for this one, I know there was a ton of gold there. Again, it can't be, I don't think it can be understated the importance of allowing other people to influence our kids. You know, we didn't really get into that on a direct line basis, but you know, from what Shane was talking about, like the influence in Kamloops. So he's there as a 16-year-old away from his mother and father who instilled these values in him, which were immensely valuable to him. He didn't recognize them at the time. He didn't even really know what they were. He, you know, as he joked, he's like, I just assumed everybody, you know, got the same type of lectures that I was getting. But so he shows up right in Kamloops as a 16-year-old, and now he's surrounded by a group of his peers, many of which who are older, and a coaching staff that preaches a similar type of message and grows his own character and grows his own understanding of his place in the game and his place on a team and nurtures that even more. And now he becomes and he blossoms into this leader and he is able to now recognize his place and status on a team and to support others and what that influence has on other people. And I guess the lesson for me is that sometimes we need to let go. Right. So as a mother, as a father, and I mean, that's something that I take very, very seriously is, you know, the influence I have on my own children and the messaging that they get from me and the example they get from me, but they also need to have other people in their lives that can contribute, you know, can contribute to their story, that can support their story, that can be examples for them. And I think sometimes we can hold a little bit too tight and we can be a little bit protective of who we let in and definitely we should be protective, but sometimes it's to a fault. And I think that there is things that we can be learning, whether it's your current coaches or, you know, whatever those people are in your environment, or even going to seek out somebody that can be, you know, a voice of leadership or a voice, you know, of advice and support. I think it's super, super valuable. And I guess it just—I don't know—I'm philosophizing now, but it just seems that we're kind of cloistered, we're sequestered in our little environments. You know, we're in our own walls. We come home to our house. We have our inner circle of our family, and we seem to keep everything pretty tight to the vest in our current culture. And there's not much of a collaboration approach, it doesn't seem like. And I think within the hockey world, it's something that I've been trying to campaign for is just being more collaborative, you know, being more supportive, whether it's on your own team or just the hockey world in general. And kind of that was one of the inspirations of really why Up My Hockey exists, is that we can have a support system on Facebook, my parent group on Facebook, Up My Hockey parent group, that parents can come together from all over the place with different, you know, different geographic regions, different ages of the kids, different levels of the kids, but
all experiencing hockey through a different lens, and where we can come together and celebrate and support and kind of hold each other's hand and walk each other through it and you know, allow ourselves to be influenced and also allow our kids to be influenced and to be, you know, to grow within the sport that Shane Doan calls, you know, the best in the world. And I couldn't agree with him more. There are so many things within hockey that just you can't get other places. You know, sports definitely teaches you a lot. Individual sports can teach you a ton, you know, perseverance, dedication, all these things. But now when you're also accountable to 17 to 20 other people in a locker room, and maybe you're not getting exactly what you want on a personal level, but we still want to have team success. Wow, there's a lot of lessons in there. And the better we can get at learning some of those lessons, like I said, you know, the longer our careers are going to be, the more opportunities we're going to have and the more relationships and connections we're going to make along the way. So yeah, long story there. But I'm just kind of super motivated by listening to Shane here. I hope you guys are as motivated as me. He really is. What you see is what you get with him. He's a champion of hockey, and he's a great representative of our sport. And I love what he had to say there. And hopefully you learned as many lessons as I did along the way. So I guess that's all I got for you. I can't wait for part two. I know you're with me. But until next time, play hard and keep your head up.